plays it on the line for Louisiana every night. We didn't have the best circumstances today, but we found a way, and that's what we do in Louisiana.
Our guys have responded as well as I could have asked for. We are 8-0. Keep your eye up there. Make sure we don't crash. I didn't hit the table that hard. We're going to Fort Lauderdale. Don't land the damn thing in the water. What was the question?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Boot Up, the LSU basketball podcast. I am Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics. No Harrison today. And no dispatch from Kent either. As we were missing one from last episode too, I'm aware the comments have flooded in. I apologize. Kent's dispatch was intercepted by enemy hands, but we'll fix that security protocol and make sure that we have a dispatch for the next episode. However, today's episode is very special. Sat down with Will Wade live at La Berge on Thursday as part of the tip-off luncheon. Recorded what is going to be a monthly live podcast of Boot Up, the LSU basketball podcast. So if you want to come out next time and ask your questions, you can. I have the dates, but I don't have them in front of me. It will be a Thursday in January, early. Here we go. January 6th. Thursday, January 6th is the next one. February 3rd would be the one after that, and March 3rd. So we'll have a couple more of these. It was great. We had a full crowd, capacity crowd, and as Kent said after the taping, and as you can see from the title of this episode, this is Will Wade Unfiltered. And so I think that's probably what we're going to start calling this series here on the podcast. Will, when he gets in front of a crowd, he gets going, and he was fired up. Some really great insight. A lot of it you may have seen on Twitter already, including how he almost crashed the plane while going recruiting to Fort Lauderdale last week because he was so angry watching film of LSU's win over Ohio. He's probably the angriest 8-0 coach in the country, or he was. He's actually in a great spirit, in a great mood for this episode, but as we all know, he has very, very high standards, and you'll hear that come across in this interview. So let's get to the interview. Here is my conversation at La Berge with LSU head basketball coach Will Wade. Thank y'all for being here. We good, Nick? We rolling? Cool. All right, thank y'all for being here. The program will be, I'll ask Will a few questions, and then we'll open it up for the floor. So the program will be, I'll ask Will a few questions, and then we'll open it up for the floor. So basically, I'll throw the softballs to him, and then y'all ask all the difficult questions for me. Coach, last time that we saw you, you weren't happy. It was after... No, you weren't. Rare, I know. But it was after your last win to go to 8-0. Are you on? Yeah, you should be good.
Is this on now?
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, okay. Probably be better if you couldn't hear me. Our players would like it when my microphone's turned off.
Well, your microphone was on the last time we saw, and you were upset about the offense in particular, it seemed. And you talked about, to quote you directly, that you were going to have a hell of a reset during this period. Now, your players have been out of competition for a little while, doing finals and taking care of academics.
You know something funny about that? So I was with Kent yesterday. We were filming like a promotion for the deal in Atlanta this weekend with the radio station. And we walked out of the media room, and Kent said, Coach, can I make a suggestion to you? I was like, yeah, sure, Kent. What do you got? I thought he was going to say something about how I handled the media or whatever. He's like, I know y'all are looking at redoing the locker room area and stuff again. You may want to soundproof the walls in the film room because I could hear everything. He said, I could hear everything you were saying after the Ohio game. So he said, you may want to get those walls a little bit better soundproofed.
Yeah, for those who have seen Gold Standard, the new documentary series that Garrison Floyd is doing, following him around, Garrison comes back with some interesting stories after being in the locker room. But you talked about that reset, right? And if you would, just speak to what that meant.
Yeah, here's what it was about. Intentionally, we played eight games in about three weeks. We played eight games in 3 weeks. And so we didn't have a lot of time to work on ourselves. We're constantly just trying to prepare for the next team, get into routine, and we do a two-day prep for every team. And so we just didn't have hardly any time to spend on ourselves or work on ourselves. When you do that, things get sloppy. Some of our extra shooting got sloppy, our numbers. And it wasn't just with our players. I mean, it was across the board. We needed to reset things. We'd gotten a little sloppy in some areas. I had known that. I knew that when we were coming back from Florida, I knew that there was some sloppiness. But I didn't have – my whole thing was I just got to get through Ohio. And then once we get through Ohio now – I wasn't planning on being that upset, but some things that happened in the Ohio game just infuriated me. So that raised my blood pressure to another level. But I knew we had some stuff simmering that we had to get fixed, and we had to get fixed. Now, I'll say this. We practiced on Saturday. Actually, we did maybe the longest film session of my career here on Saturday before we practiced. And our guys' response in practice was tremendous, which is never a given when we had what happened against Ohio. We had taken a couple days off because they had to get ready for exams. And then when we got back Saturday, it's never a given when you go through the film. We watched every offensive possession in the Ohio game twice with my commentary, colorful commentary on each play multiple times. And then I got some of their opinions on some things and asked a few questions. And then I handed out a stat packet of all sorts of different analytics and all sorts of different numbers that I wanted to show. And, the point was, at the end of the day, defense has been our biggest issue. We got the defense figured out. And our offense is now, we have to play complementary basketball. So our team's different. And so some of the ISO and some of the stuff we've done in the past worked because we were so much more offensively oriented. Now we've got to play better offensive basketball to at least give our defense a chance to get set because our defense is so good. We got to invert kind of what we've done. And so it requires a change in mindset, a shift in mindset. And that's what I'm trying to get, to get across to our guys. And like I said, our guys have responded as well as I could have asked for. But, it's one thing to respond in practice when it's just your team and that sort of thing. It's another thing when we're, like Kent was saying, at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on Saturday when we're playing in an NBA arena in front of a national TV audience with their family and friends and everybody in the stands. It's another thing to be able to have that discipline and to carry that over in that type setting.
You mentioned in the past how your teams have been, especially at LSU, really strong offensively, and then the defense has been behind that. And this year that it's flipped. Your defense now is one of the best in the country. When you look at every advanced metric, what do you credit that transition to? Is it personnel? Is it scheme finding, clicking, combination of all those 90, things?
90% personnel. I mean, our personnel is just more defensive oriented. It's better. We got more two-way players. I mean, Brandon Murray and Imwani are the most solid defensive guys you'll ever see. Murray leads us in minutes played simply because when he's out there, our defense is just so much better. You look at the Ohio game, we like to play guys with two fouls in the first half. We don't really care about that. And when Imwani picks up his third foul, that's when Ohio started scoring. We're not totally stupid. We do take them out with three fouls in the first half. But when I'm very proud of that. I don't like playing. I just think it's bad coaching if you sit a guy with two fouls. I'm very proud that we're top 10 in the country and playing guys with two fouls in the first half. Because, everybody what ifs. Well, what if they foul out? Well, what if they don't? And you've had the guys sitting on the bench and you've given up a huge lead. Like, everybody what ifs a worst case scenario. There's a lot of other good things that can happen, too. Josh Pastner now at Georgia Tech, he played a dude with four fouls in the first half the other game. I told Bill, if we really had some guts, we would do what he does. Coach Armstrong, my assistant, because he wants to play him. He'll let him foul out in the first half if it was up to Bill. But I said, Pastner's taking your theory to a whole nother level. He literally, against North Carolina the other day, he played a kid with four fouls in the first half. Which is incredible to me. I wish I had the guts like him. I got a little bit of a line that I'm not gonna cross. But anyway, having Imwani, having Murray, we can stay in front of the ball, which we haven't been able to do. When you can stay in front of the ball because you've got elite quickness, Penson and Gaines are quick, Imwani and Murray are good positional defenders, and then you've got guys like Efton and Tari who block a bunch of shots and who are intimidating at the rim, and you can turn layups into 8-foot pull-ups, you got a pretty good defense. And then the other part of it is our rebounding has improved tremendously. Our defensive rebounding needs to continue to improve. That's an area I've challenged, especially Imwani. I think he can get even better defensive rebounding-wise. His defensive rebounding rate needs to skyrocket a little bit. But, you know, when you add all that together, you got components of a good defense. And it's like I told our guys, we have a good baseline in terms of we've played extremely hard every game. Like, we play hard. That's a good formula for your identity. That's a good place to start. Now we got to play a little bit smarter. Now we got to think a little bit more about the team on offense. You know, we got to add some layers to all that.
Have you ever coached a team that gets as many shot clock violations as this team? I've never seen it. What's the count now, Kent? Like 14 on the season?
You keeping those in the game notes?
Yeah, they're in the game
notes. They're in the game notes. There we go.
Have you ever had a team that's able to do that?
No, I've had a team that gets a bunch of steals like this. We've had a bunch of teams that get steals. We led the country for 2 years at VCU in steals. But the shot clock violations are a product more of the front of the press. And so you don't get into offense till, you know, 18, 20 seconds. And then a lot of teams run stuff that takes a while. And when you do that, it makes it difficult. But I've never had a team that's gotten so many shot clock violations. So hopefully there's plenty more to come.
When I watch your team play defense, you know, I go back to my basketball roots and I think, man, that'd be a really difficult team to play against. I'd have no fun playing against them because of the way that y'all are able to switch everything. And I know that started last year, last offseason, where you started looking at that system and y'all did it last year some. But this year it's really clicked. What spurred you to first start looking into that system, and what's the installation of it been like long-term over the last couple of seasons?
Well, I think last year starting in the system helped us. Really, we started last year playing a matchup zone, and then it just morphed into the switching man, basically, because we couldn't get the rotations in the zone down and some other stuff. So we just kind of morphed into the man, and then this year, we've added a lot of the post trapping, which has been really effective for us to keep the a lot of people don't like to trap the post. My theory is usually your post players are the worst passers. So why would you not trap them? We have no problem trapping the guards, who are usually good passers. Why wouldn't we trap the bigs, who are usually poor passers? And then it also allows us, if we have a mismatch down there, it's not a mismatch because we've got a trap coming. So that's been really beneficial to us. That's something we kind of added, or not added. We had it in last year for a little bit, but we weren't very good at it. But we spent a bunch of time this summer in our summer workouts just working on trapping the post and how we're going to guard in the post and that sort of thing. So we've added that to the defense, which has helped. And then the pressure has been, you know, we just got guys that can press. The press helps when you don't have to guard as much in the half court. That's to your benefit defensively. And so just being able to get some pressure on the ball and not have them just whip the ball up the court has helped us tremendously. And like I said, that's having somebody like Gaines and Penson on the ball, and Wani, who's got good instincts. Tari's got good instincts on the second line. So when you've got that, you've got a shot.
You mentioned watching the film twice of the Ohio game. You mentioned the packet of stats that you provided. I don't know if you could give us one or two of your favorite stats out of there. But when you went back and watched that, what did
funny.
You see?
I was watching the Ohio game on Thursday. I flew to recruit, and I was in the school plane, and I was sitting back, and I had the table out, and I got so mad I hit the table on the plane, and the co-pilot, he's like, "You all right, coach?" I was like, "No, we just turned the damn ball over against Ohio again." I said, "Keep your eye up there. Make sure we don't crash. We're going to Fort Lauderdale. Don't land the damn thing in the water. Just get us over." But I hit the table. He's a great guy, Spencer. Spencer's like, "You all right, coach?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good, man."
I know you don't do social media, but did anyone show you the video that went around on Twitter of you hitting the score table at the end of that game?
No.
I'll show you after. Oh. It's a good
I don't
one.
Remember that.
No, it's blind rage. A blind rage.
I didn't hit the table that hard on the plane, but I was anyway. Anyway, I watched it I watched it when I was flying down for recruiting, and then I watched it again that night coming back, and I'd watched it the night before. I watched it like 3 or 4 times total. Our guys asked me after the film, after I'd calmed down, they're like, "Golly, you didn't even..." I said, "Yeah, I'd memorized every play. I knew everything that was coming up. I didn't need any notes. I didn't need anything. I knew exactly what was getting ready to happen. I'd watched it so many times." But what was the question? Do you remember the question?
I do. It was twofold. It was one, the packet of stats that you handed out.
Oh, the packet of stats.
Any standouts?
Well, the first was just our normal stat sheet, and then was a bunch of advanced analytics, four-factor stuff about our offense and defense the last two or three years. Then it was about then I had a sheet in there about Tari and Imwani and Days' efficiency, where it ranks all-time with LSU. And then I had a national efficiency ranking, which had Tari in there. And then I gave each of them a three-page packet of their own advanced analytics, and I explained all that to them. That was all in the packets.
Are they receptive to that? Is that?
Oh, yeah. They look at the advanced ones. I have to sit down. Like, I sat down and explained, all right, here's what we're looking at. Here's what you're looking at. Here's what this means. And it's good because they don't know everything, so I can kind of massage how I want it to mean, you know. Oh, you think 50, you think this is good? Actually, this is what it should be, you know. So some of them, though, it says like highly inefficient, high usage guard. I'm like, perfect, that's what I need. Because that gives me what I need to talk to them about what we want. But no, I mean, I go through the main, it's color-coded the way I give it to them. So, like, green is really good. Yellow's okay. Red's bad. Kind of like a stoplight. So, like, anything in green means they're in the top, you know, the top 25% nationally. Anything in yellow means they're in the middle 50% nationally. Anything in red means they're in the bottom 25% nationally. So, they get a pretty good idea. I mean, if you don't know anything, you just look at the colors and say, all right, I've got a good field goal percentage. I got bad this, bad that. So, I mean, it kind of dumbs it down like that. And then the third page is actually their shot chart, all their half-court shots, all their transition shots, and all their rim putbacks. And so they can look at that and kind of go through that as well. So they're used to it. I give it to them. I give them those, the three-packet thing. I give that out like quarterly. So this is like, to me, we're eight games in. That's like a quarter of the way through the season, and then we'll do it again after our first four SEC games and that sort of thing.
When you watched that film, what did you see that needed fixing? What were the immediate corrections that needed to be made?
I mean, one, the turnovers. We turned it over 17 times. That was how we started practice Saturday, running for every turnover. That went over real well.
How much running was that?
We ran for every turnover. I told you we turned over 17 times.
17.
No, 22. Down back in 22 seconds. That got us off to a good start.
So they'll be in excellent shape for the next game.
Huh? They'll be in good shape. So we ran for the turnovers. So the turnovers jumped off the page. I wasn't real pleased with that. The offensive rebounding I was beyond mad about, but that was more of a product of our ball movement. We don't screen anybody, so I wasn't real pleased about the screens. We're not rolling hard enough. Wasn't real pleased about that. Our spacing was poor. We looked like, I called it camp basketball. We just ran to the ball like we're in camp. So I wasn't real excited about about the spacing. I wasn't real excited about our pace. The only thing I was actually pleased about, we scored 8 points on baseline out of bounds. We dimed them up baseline out of bounds. Anything outside of the baseline out of bounds, I wasn't real happy about.
On a brighter note,
we are 8-0.
You are 8-0.
I had to remind myself of that.
And you're also number two in the first net rankings, and I know that rankings
we dropped
this
to
time
three
of year.
Because damn Arizona beat the brakes off Wyoming last night. But we dropped to three this morning.
Do you check those every morning? Multiple times?
What do you think?
Okay. Question answers itself.
How do you think I knew we were three? Wyoming was running up the damn efficiency numbers last night against undefeated Wyoming. Arizona was running them up against undefeated Wyoming. Arizona's really good. But we dropped to three this morning.
One of your more memorable rants from a couple years ago was you got to beat the computers, which
is... Well, it's all based on efficiency. And so... Part of the reason our numbers are better is, one, we've beaten some good teams. Wake Forest is a quad one. Belmont's 37th in the net. Don't sleep on them because they won at St. Louis the other night. They may not lose a game the rest of the year. They're going to get on a roll. And I'm a big go Bruins. but they're 37th in the net right now,
yeah.
which is huge. And Wake Forest is a quad one, which makes Belmont a quad two. Which has been good. And so Yeah, I mean, I look at all that, and you've got to, our efficiency numbers are what helps us. We've played good teams. We haven't played any real dogs. We've only played two quad fours. I think we're in the we've played the least amount of quad fours. We're like in the top 30 in terms of least amount of quad fours played from a power five perspective. And so now we got one coming up on Tuesday, but you know, that helps us when you're not playing. You know, we need Liberty to pick it up. We need some of these guys to pick it up. Ohio almost lost to St. Francis the other day. Almost had a heart attack in practice when we were following that. I make the managers check all that, and they come over and report to me at the free throw shooting. And Ohio was up like 18, so I was cool and practiced and Squid. Our manager came and was like, St. Francis is down 3 with 30 seconds left. I said, don't tell me that, Squid. I don't want to hear that. Tell me when it's over and Ohio won. You know, all that stuff matters. You start all that little stuff adds up, because you're talking about thousands and ten thousandths of a decimal point. And so everything matters. I was talking to Chambers, who's here with my assistant to the head coach here, who's with me. We were talking on the way over here. I was just telling him, you know, the damn 7 free throws we gave up against Wake Forest on that stuff. The technical I had in the game where they made the free throws, the 2 bank threes, like you start getting into all that stuff. That stuff adds up on the efficiencies and stuff. And so we just gotta, you know, you gotta be careful every possession. You know, we screwed off the end of the games a couple times and took some bad shots and gave up layups, even though we're up 50. Like all that stuff matters and factors in. So, I monitor that closely. I know exactly what's going on, and we're on top of that as best we can be.
I want to open up for questions in just a second, but I do want to highlight one individual in particular. I just talked to Tari Eason on the Boot Up podcast this week, and one, he's just a really interesting and intelligent young man, but he's been so impressive on the floor and I think exceeded my expectations personally. Just looking at the numbers that he had at Cincinnati last year, you're thinking, oh, he's going to be a really good player that's going to come in and rebound. But I think he's far more dynamic than I expected offensively. And then defensively, his numbers have been through the roof as well when you combine his steals and his blocks and the impact that he has on the floor. What have you seen from him and his role as a sixth man and a guy that can come off the bench and give you guys a real spark and then finish games out for you?
You know, he's about what we thought we were getting. When you extrapolated his numbers out, when you looked at it had him averaging about 14-8 for us. When you put the usage rate in, and now he's doing a little bit better than that, but you looked at how he scored, not necessarily what he scored. When you look at how he scored and you put him in a system that he just fit exactly what, how he scores and what he did fit exactly what we do. And so even though it didn't necessarily jump off the page at you when you looked at just his raw data at Cincinnati, if he'd have used the same numbers and put it in our system, he'd average 14-8 last year. And so you just kind of knew it was going to, you knew it was going to work. Now, yeah. What I didn't know is the work ethic, the toughness, all that sort of stuff. You don't know till you get them here and you work with them and you spend time with them. Like, you don't know all of that. You don't know exactly what you're getting till you get them here and you get to work with them. And, you know, when you combine, he's unbelievably talented with a great work ethic, and he's got, you know, what I love about him, he's got a massive, I wouldn't even call it a, he's got a boulder on his shoulder, not even a chip. Like, he's always been overlooked. He's always, you know, kind of, as he would say, getting it out of the mud. Like, he figures things out. And that's a really good trait to have when you can be put in tough situations and you can always just find a way out or figure things out. Like, that's a really, really good trait to have for basketball, for life, for whatever you're doing. And Tari's got that. And, you know, he's very diligent. He knew I was mad after the Ohio game. He texted me at 12:30 that night after the game. He's like, Coach, I just got done watching the game. Here are my thoughts. I said,
smart.
I said, that's good. I said, he was trying to head me off at the pass.
Smart.
I said, Tari, that's great. I said, I'm so mad right now. I'll give you my thoughts in 2 days on Saturday. I said, you don't want my thoughts right now. But he was smart. He was trying to get ahead of me, and he had already watched it. But my point was, his observations were spot on.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a great basketball mind. He's got great intellect. his observations were absolutely spot on. And so, you know, you get what you earn, and he's done a tremendous tremendous job for us, and you know, we knew he was going to be a really good player. Now, you never know exactly, like I said, the toughness and the work ethic and some of the other things that he's got, some of the just intangible qualities that he has, but he's a really, really good player, and I'm glad he's a Tiger and not a Bearcat, that's for sure.
Me as well. Any questions that anyone wants to ask Coach Wade?
Yep.
I'll bring the mic around, so.
Coach, I know you go in an eight-man rotation, and I understand how you're doing that. Is any others that might crack in and get a few minutes? And I guess that leads me in. Is Sharif O'Neal got any chance of playing this year?
Yeah, so we do like the eight-man rotation. That, to me, is preferable. Nine is pretty good, too, but eight is preferable. So I like the rotation we're in now. Everybody's pretty pleased with their minutes. Everybody's pretty pleased with what they're getting. So I do like kind of the rotation we're in now. Certainly, when Sharif is fully cleared, he's starting to be able to do more. He should be able to get on the court next week. Then, you know, we'll have some other decisions to make. It's not that hard to expand it to nine, if we needed to. But you know, right now there's a lot of other pressures that go into that when you add somebody halfway through the year. There's a lot of other things that go into the team dynamic that you don't necessarily always want to mess with, but we also want to give ourselves the best chance to win. And so I've got to look at it through the lens of what gives us the best opportunity to win, what gives us the best opportunity for us to have success. But really, eight, if you look at the year we won the SEC in 19, we played eight guys pretty much the entire year. I tried to play nine or 10 at the beginning of the year, then we played eight. Now, the last couple years, we've played six or seven, and that's not nearly enough. We have worn down as the year went on. And so eight's a good number for us. I'd like to keep it at eight, but if we have to expand to nine because that gives us a better chance to win, then that's something we'll certainly look at.
Any other questions for Coach Wade? Yep, coming back.
Coach, I think it was against McNeese that a part of the game, you had a front line that was at least 6'7" or above. It made me think about the Michigan game in the playoffs where they were throwing the ball over and above your press. And do you see going with the front line that's a little bit taller in anticipation that we may run into that again?
Yeah, it's a great question. Really good question. I think you're referring, we had Tari, Days, and Efton all on the court at the same time a couple times. I've looked at, you know, messing with Tari and Days at the three some so we can be bigger. You know, you can play Fudge a bunch of different positions as well. Fudge is 6'8". You can put him at the three or the four. I do think, you know, having added length, having added athleticism out there is huge for us. And that's something that we're definitely going to have to look at getting into SEC play. It helps you with your rebounding. It helps you in the press. It helps you defensively. And so that's definitely something we're gonna look at. And I've actually started messing with putting in some play packages where we got the three big guys in there together so we can run some decent stuff on offense with those guys in there.
Any other questions for Coach?
First of all, Coach, it's been a lot of fun watching these guys. I want to thank you and the staff and the team and the players. And starting out the year, do you think these guys will be this good on defense?
Well, I've always believed I didn't know we'd be quite this good, but I knew we'd be much better. But I don't like to write checks I can't cash. So I kind of laid low and was going to wait till it happened. But I felt like we were going to be much, much, much improved defensively, just with the personnel and our dedication to it. And we got guys. Our guys have a lot of pride now, and they get tired of hearing about how bad we are on defense. And I probably stoke that quite a bit in practice. And, you know, that's why we're 137th on defense. And, you know, so, our guys got pride to them, and they were tired of listening to it, and Days and some of those guys really, really let everybody know that we were going to do it. Now, you know, Adam Miller helped us a ton. I know he's hurt, but he came from Illinois, and he's a different type nasty now on defense. And so he really helped us set the tone. And Murray, you see how he is. And Imwani's always been a defensive-minded guy. So we just had more guys that had defense in their mind. And so I think in the preseason I had a pretty good idea. I didn't know we were going to be as good in the press, because you know we press our managers and our GAs and some of the scout team guys. I mean, I could pick five guys in here and we could press them and look good. All right, so you never know, like you never know until you press like a real team, you know, how it's going to look. And after, we didn't really show it much when we played Nichols. We did it some, but I guess everybody knows we scrimmage Baylor now. When we scrimmaged Baylor and we had their guards scrambling and turning that ball over, I knew we were onto something then. I said, all right, we wore their ass out and wore them down. And when we did that, I was like, when we got back, I even think I saw Cody. And Cody was, I said, well, let's temper our expectations a little bit. But I was like, I knew then, if you could press those guards, I knew we could press just about anybody and we were going to be in pretty good shape.
He had the look in his eye.
I was trying to get everybody to calm down a little bit, but
you had Kent.
Freaking Kent's the town prior back here. Nobody's supposed to know anything about the scrimmage, and I get back in there, and Kent's told everybody in the office what's going on the scrimmage. Like, how the hell did y'all get the information? And they're Kent.
That's the first stop I made. I stopped in Kent's office. How do we look, Kent? Oh, we didn't look that good. Calm down, Cody. And then he got into it.
That's why we love Kent. We're in the middle of that scrimmage against Baylor, and I was the way we scrimmage at a Division II school in Houston, and St. Thomas is. We scrimmage Texas there. We scrimmage Baylor, and the table basically. I stand in front of Kent when I'm coaching, and Kent looked at me about halfway through the second half. He said, "Coach, we're going to be really good." I said, "Shut up, Kent. Shut up." I said, "No, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I ain't got time for that right now."
Any other questions for Coach? Yeah, I'm coming back to you.
Coach, when I went to the first practice, the open practice at the beginning of the year, you and Coach Armstrong were really concerned about the players communicating with each other, and I was just wondering if how much they've improved and if you're happy with the improvement on communication.
It's a good question. Concern's a nice way of putting that, by the way. I like that. I like your wording of that question. No, our communication's gotten better. What we do defensively with all that switching is not easy. We make it look easy because they communicate and they're, but it's not easy because there's X outs. We're trying to stay out of mismatches. There's based on different parts of the floor where the ball is, different things happen. Like there's a lot of stuff that's going on at once. Now, Imwani helps it tremendously because he sees everything. And Efton, when he's out there, he helps it tremendously. That's why if you notice, we have one of Efton or Imwani out there basically at all times because they can communicate everything and see everything and keep us as not in not as bad of matchups as we can be. Our communication can always get better. It's not perfect. At that point, we were ranking them in communication. Every practice, you got ranked 1 through 13, and the bottom part of the worst communicators ran after practice every day. So I tell them, y'all like to talk all on and everything else. Why don't you talk on the court? But part of that's everything's on text message and social media now, so you don't have to have face-to-face interaction with people. But our communication, you can always get better. You know, we haven't played a true road game. Saturday will be close to a true road game, but we still want to, you know. So when you're on the road, you've got to communicate louder. You've got to communicate earlier. You know, if you're a half second behind with what we do, a half second's the difference between a steal and a layup. You know, us getting a steal or the other team getting a layup. And so, you know, we've got to make sure we're on point with all that.
I think it's about time to wrap up. Coach, if you could just preview what's ahead for you guys. I know y'all are traveling this weekend.
Traveling tomorrow to Atlanta for Georgia Tech. And one thing that's a little bit worrisome for me is Georgia Tech plays matchup zone. They play a bunch of different defenses. So I'm not quite sure all this. We've gotten better offensively the last week, but I'm not sure how much of it's going to show on Saturday because we're not playing against, like, we're playing against a bunch of different defenses. So it's going to be quite a bit different than what we've been playing against and what we've been going against. And so hopefully some of those new concepts will get down and we'll be better at against Georgia Tech, but it is going to be a little bit different for us than what we've been seeing and what we've been used to. But they've got a kid, Michael DeVoe, number zero, who is averaging 24 points a game, 25 points a game. He's playing like a first-team All-American. He's a lefty. Really, really good player. Shoots 55% from three. And I'm not talking he's you know, five for 10 from three. I'm talking he's taking a ton of threes. They've got another kid, Debo Coleman, who's shooting over 50% from three as well. They've hit 56 threes as a team. Those two have combined for 38 of the 56. That's 0 and 10. So we got to do a great job on 0 and 10. We got to handle their changing defenses. We got to try to get to offense early. And then, you know, we got to do a good job on the offensive glass. I tell our guys, if we can just shoot it before we turn it over, put it on that backboard and let us go get it before we turn that thing over. And if we can do that, we'll be in good shape.
I know you weren't thrilled with some of the things you saw on the court for the Ohio game, but the crowd was incredible, and you've had some great crowds this year. I know you'll be back home next week. Students are out, and they're heading back home.
Students have been unbelievable. We had over 2,000 students for the Ohio game.
Set a new record, I believe, for students in the student section.
That was awesome. So the students have been awesome. The crowds have been awesome. The fans have been great. And hopefully we can keep it rolling and keep the great crowds. And our team feeds off that. When you press like we do and you play and need to generate a bunch of energy, you feed off the crowd. And so even more so than past teams, the crowd makes a huge difference for us. But for that crowd, for the Ohio game, for a non-conference game in the middle of the week and basically still in football, I mean, that was incredible to have 11,500 people there. Absolutely, absolutely tremendous. And it was fun. And, you know, we've got to keep it going until our students get back, because the students have been phenomenal.
Yeah, and not to get too far ahead, but the schedule to start January is
don't
very...
remind me. Bill pulled it up today when we were in a staff meeting. He said, oh, yeah, by the way, don't look at our... He was telling Chambers. He told Chambers, he said, welcome to the SEC, big boy. look at these first seven games.
The SEC is very good this year, and that schedule to start conference is very difficult. But you got a lot of work to do before you get there. So we'll let you get back to that work, Coach. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much. Boot up.
We're going to rename this Will Wade Unfiltered Live at LaBerge or something.
Kent. Kent's the town prior back here.